Our next speaker is Przemysław Wieczek from the University of Warsaw.
It's not mine. So hello, my name is Przemysław Wieczek, and I am from academia. I am working in cancer research, and we have a problem, like we are generating a lot of different results. And after some time, sometimes it's a month, sometimes it's a week, we cannot understand what we have been doing last time. So we have developed a package that helped us to survive in this field. And today I'm going to show you how to use Archivist in your research. Maybe you can use it for some reason. So the overview of this presentation is as the following. I have divided the presentation into three parts. I will start with some examples. I hope they will motivate you to use Archivist. Then I will say something about the structure of the package, and I will end up with more examples. So let's go to the first question. What and why? So probably you have heard a lot of times that everything in R is an object. So the idea behind Archivist is a question, what if we can store all objects that have been ever created and all relations between objects? Can we use this for something? So the goal for Archivist is to keep trace of every object, all relations between objects and all properties of objects. And then having this data, we also need some interface to use the data. So we also provide an interface to access an object and seek for objects that match some properties. Having said that, I can answer the question what Archivist is doing, and simply it manages R objects outside of R session. So it gives you a way to actually access objects that are not currently in your R session. So you may start wonder why anybody would like to use and tool like that. So it's time for some examples. And I have two examples. One is for Knitter and second is for Shiny. A lot of people are using Shiny, so maybe this is why you will find it interesting. But let's start with Knitter, because also a lot of you people are using Knitter. So basically, here you have a report that I have generated for my students. It's just a bunch of different plots with different parameters of ggplot. So you can just see how there is, of course, since it's a Knitter, there is R code and there are plots. So you can see how these plots are created. But what you cannot do, you cannot actually download the plot and you cannot modify the plot. So what you can do with Archivist, actually Archivist adds some hooks to your objects, and then you can copy the hook to your R session, and it's a live demo, so I am crossing my fingers. Yeah, it's working. So it actually downloads from GitHub these objects, and then the object is in your R session. So you can modify it, since it's a ggplot, so you can add a title. Here I am, for example. And you will see that, yeah, it's again downloaded and it's changed. So you can do anything because it's in your R session. And of course, if you have reports which are very, very long, sometimes you might have results and you would like to polish these results or tune it or do something. So here you have a possibility to actually download the results from the report. So the second example is for Shiny. And again, we are using Shiny quite often because it's a great tool and it gives you a great possibility to actually explore different things. But what sometimes is hard is to stop in a single point and then do something with these results. So what you can do with Archivist plus Shiny, you can create easily a Shiny application, and then results that are presented, they can be plots, they can be models, anything, they also can be downloaded from the Shiny. And you may say, okay, this is a great model, or this is a great plot, but I would like to tune it somehow, or I would like to change it somehow. So now you can, of course, do this because everything is stored somewhere, and you may access them easily. So having these examples, let's see actually how does it work. So maybe let's see some R code. There will be three screens with R code, and I know that the code is small, so it might be hard to read, but I hope I can just describe what is inside. So the key idea behind Archivist is that you have objects, I will call them artifacts, and they are stored in repositories. So let's start with a creation of a repository. So the first line actually creates a repository. It's called a repo, and it'll be a default repo. And then, you know, you can create anything. Anything, it can be a linear model. So here I am just creating a linear model. And then you can save this linear model to the repo just with a function save to local repo. You can create a plot, and the second example is for plot, and then again you can store the object in the repository with this function. So the output of save to the local repo function is a hash. Every object, the function save to local repo extracts some properties of an object and returns a unique MD5 hash for a given object. So then, instead of using names, it's very easy to forget names, and it's very easy to have many objects that have the same name. But instead of that, you can use basically a hash of the object. And then if the object is linked with something, here the object is, the model is linked with a data set, Iris, then you can also track dependent objects. Like here I know that the object model depends on the object Iris, so I can store both of them in the database, and then also I have information what are their hashes. So okay, I can store objects in database, but to make it useful, of course, I need a way to extract objects from database. So here I have one function, arit. There are two examples. The first one is working on the local repository, so it's simply a folder. The second one is working on a remote repository, and here is a folder on GitHub. So having object on GitHub, you can just download object from GitHub. And having a hash, you can now say, okay, please read me an object with given hash, and as a return, we'll get an our object. Here is a linear model. Okay, you can do this with just save and load function, so you expect something more. And the more is actually the assert function. So since all objects are stored along with some additional properties, you can just ask for all objects that match a given pattern. Like here you have a line. The line is assert repository patterns equal to class LM. So this function is looking for the repository and downloading all objects that have this class. So here is download all objects of a class linear model. So then having a collection of these objects, these models, it's just a list. You can apply sapply function and calculate BIC criteria for all these models and just sort these models along BIC criteria. So you can imagine that you have a team of data scientists. They are all working together, creating a bunch of different models. And then you can just collect all these models and score them. Or you, as since I am a teacher, I have a lot of students, and the students are also creating different models, and then I can score their models and check whether they are correct or not. It's just enough to have all objects in a single repository. Okay, so maybe we should see what actually the repository is. So it's simply a folder. And in the folder, you have a subfolder. It's called gallery. And in the subfolder, you have dumps of RDA files. And also, you have a database. Here, it's called BackpackDB. And this is a SQLite database with properties. So all properties is in the are in the single file. So then you can just examine this file to find objects that match your criteria, like having a given class or name or being created in given time. These properties look like that. Here you have an example for a single artifact. So in the database, you have just information what is the format. So for R objects, the format is RDA, but you can also store objects from other languages. So you can export an object from Python and have the object in JSON or in CSV file, anything. So one of properties is actually the format. Then another property is the original name, because maybe you remember that the object was called something, and then you can look for objects that had a given name. You have a class, and you have a bunch of different properties. So these properties are selected here, and the list is flexible, so you can add a new properties to your objects. For example, if you are storing linear models, you may also add a property like author, who has created given objects. For some reason, it might be important for you. Okay, so maybe more examples. what you can do having all these properties in the database. So one idea, one thing that we have introduced is the operator, A operator, and it works almost like a pipe or operator. The only difference is that it also stores information which function was used to create a given object. So here I have just a pipe, and in the pipe I've started with an iris dataset. I've applied filter, then a linear model, and then summary function. And all these functions are stored in the database. So in database, having this in database, then after some time, like after a month or a year, or my colleague can do this, he can just use an iKister function. And with a hash or with an object, he can ask, okay, how the object was created? Since all these calls to R functions are recorded, so he has this pedigree of an object. So he can even download partial results and keep information how what was used to create a given object. It might be useful because maybe I will decide that, okay, I should change this formula. So I can just download these results and then apply a different LM function. So this is one example. And the second example is that it's even more personal. Like it's not just enough to store an object because everything is changing in R, and in some places it's changing even faster than in others. So my problem with the speed of rapid changes is that sometimes you can create an object and then you cannot use it after some time. And the story here is related to ggplot package. It changes a lot, and it's a great tool. But there was one large change between version 1.1 and then 2.0, and then between 2.0 and 2.1. And the problem was that I could store the plot, but then I cannot actually plot it because the plot function from the new version of the package cannot actually deal with the old structure of the previous plot. So it's not a good thing. You might be proud that you have all objects, but you cannot use them. So we are also storing session info for all objects. For every object that was ever created, we remember which packages were installed and in which version. And then there is a very cool function, RestoreLibs. You can just give an object, and then every package that was used to create the given object is installed in a version that was present during the object was created. So it works both with objects, packages from CRAN and packages from GitHub. So we found them very useful, especially for these large changes in ggplot2. Okay, and there are other examples. One example is that, okay, you may say it's very tedious to use the save to repo function every time. And I learned that there is a very cool function in R. It's called trace. It's in, I think it's in base package. And the trace function allowed you to inject R code in the body of other function. So in this example, you can simply add at the end of the LM function, you can inject an R code, and the R code will just save results of a function to the repository. So having this, you don't need to actually call directly the save to repo function because the LM function is modified, and every time one will call the LM function, also the save to repo function will be called. So it's not that you need to actually use this save to repo function. You can just add one line on the beginning of your R code, and then every linear model objects or ggplot will be recorded. So there are some additional tools that you can use. One is Archivist GitHub package developed by Marcin Kosiński, who is the co-author of this package as well. And it simply makes it easy to communicate with GitHub. With the package, you can clone the repository, commit your objects, synchronize folders with just one instruction, so it's not that complicated. And also there is a function, it's called here add hooks to print. It can be used as in the beginning of a Nitro script, and then this function actually modified the print function in a way that every time print function is called, then also the argument is saved to the repository. So every time a model is presented, or every time a plot is plotted from ggplot2, then also here, not only the plot is plotted, but also this link is included in the NITR file. So everything that you need to do to generate such a NITR report is to start with this line, and the line will modify the print function, and then every time the print function is used by NITR, given links are also embedded in your report, so you can keep a trace of every data frame, every ggplot object, whatever you wish. Okay, so I think I have like 1 minute, so I will spend this last minute on this this figure. And it's basically a summary of functions that are in Archivist. So there are some functions that allowed you to write objects to the repository, that allowed you to read objects from the repository, either local or remote, and there are some shorter names which are easier to use. So thank you very much for your attention, and you can read more from this webpage. This filter function.
What's that?
The function that is called here, yeah? So here we are recording calls, and the side effect is that also the whole environment is recorded, so you can extract it. Yeah.
Yeah, this is really great work. Good job.
Thank you.
I was wondering more about the restore libs function.
Yeah. It's really, yeah. So I don't know whatever will work for version of R. It's a good question. You have information about the version, so it might be possible. However, now I think that for development version of R, the name is just rdev. So then it might be hard to decide what is the real version. So I don't know. Probably it can be changed in a way to deal with this problem as well. Yeah. It's working with, it's basically loads the session info object, and then one by one is going through these packages and checking package version, and then either it downloads the package version from CRAN, so for CRAN having the version, you can actually easily get the zip or targz file to download the version. With GitHub, it's the same. In GitHub, you have also information from which commit the package was downloaded, so you can directly download the package from a given commit. So, yeah. We are trying to use also the a solution provided by Microsoft. They have a snapshots, but then it turns out that sometimes you have versions of packages from different snapshots. So we need to do this package by package to make sure that you have exactly the same copy of packages.
So let's change the computer.
Thank you.